We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
That's if you're here for the facts, you're at the wrong
wrong podcast. We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it. Welcome back to another episode of the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. We are back at it again. Thank y'all so much for joining us.
Joining us.
So Fala has way better Wi-Fi now. So hopefully the quality of the sound and everything will be a lot better today. How was your week this past week?
My week was weekend, you know? It was good.
I feel like you say that every week.
I don't know if I have like frontal lobe damage or something, or whatever part of the brain processes time, but I'm just like living life, or I guess it's living me, you know?
Yeah. Well, have you been late to everything or what?
No, I just like feel like things happen and I just don't process it. Like I'm watching my life, but not really living it, but not in a sad way, just kind of in a like, whatever.
Okay.
That sounded way more depressing than I meant it to sound. That,
yeah.
Like the majority of my week is work. And to me, work is just like, it's just work, whatever. So I don't really.
Yeah.
But I got to see my family this weekend, which was nice.
Yay. That's awesome.
That's all I got. I should have something more exciting for you, but I don't.
It's because you didn't go out of the country or go out of town.
That's true. I really should spice it up.
No, you spice it up enough for 2024.
What was your week?
My week was actually okay. My weekend was very educational, to say the least. I attended the STS 2024, which is basically the cardiothoracic surgeons like annual conference that they put on.
Ooh.
And so I went to like this lung transplant symposium and conference, which was basically just talking about lung transplants, but also too specifically about people who, you know, just have lung disorders, lung diseases, all that kind of stuff, because, you know, it's a bunch of cardiothoracic surgeons, which are who does lung transplants. And of course there's pulmonary intensivists there and all that kind of stuff, but it was very educational, but very I hate to say this, it was very boring. And the reason why it was boring is because cardiothoracic surgeons, for the general public, they're nerds, right? But cardio gods are like the worst kinds of surgeons or the worst kinds of doctors, because they think they know everything. To me, I feel like they're worse than neuro, because at least neuro is like, there's a gray area. Cardiologists and cardiothoracic surgeons, in my professional opinion and with my professional experience, the people that I've been around, they're just very direct and they don't see anybody else's view, only what they want to do. And which is not a bad thing to be direct, because I'm a very direct person, but in the field of medicine, you have to be collaborative. And not saying that there are some physicians that I have worked with who are not very collaborative. And then there are some who are the complete opposite, but they were just boring. That's all. But it was very educational. Yeah. They just couldn't keep the attention.
Highly specialized doctors and surgeons are like, too smart for their own good.
They are.
You know?
They even started talking about like prehab or like rehabbing before surgery and stuff like that, which oftentimes happens. And it was so funny because none of the stuff that they said, regarding one particular topic, they were just like, well, yeah, we expect them to be walking this amount of feet in the 6-minute walk test and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just sitting there as a PT like, do you really know what happens with these patients? They have to be able to walk 1,000 feet. And I'm
the best is when they're like, my doctor said that I have to walk 4 laps today. And we're like, they don't know shit. Don't worry about that. Just do the best you can.
Exactly. I'm just like, and they follow these rules and regulations to a T. Like, well, if they can't, the research says that if they don't walk 1,000 feet, then they're not going to do well. And we're like, we know different as therapists.
I cannot tell you how many times, you know, when you get a patient who's like max times 2, like post-op day 1 or 2, and you're just trying to take 3 steps in the room, you're like, that would be progress. It's been such a rough journey. And they're like, my doctor said if I don't walk today, I'm going to be in trouble. And I'm like, listen, they don't know what the fuck's going on here.
They have no clue. Don't listen to them. We're the therapists, we know.
Yeah.
And especially too, when it comes to like even though this was more so related to lung patients, but even with heart transplants, I mean, you know, these transplant surgeons, they're just like, well, the patient isn't walking. No, I get it. That should not be your only factor. And I get what the research says. I'm not trying to say that the research does not matter. It does, but not with everybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't you think if we could walk, we'd be walking? Like, I'm not just in here like, oh, you could, but I don't want to. Like, they can't.
We really need him walking. You think? I fucking know that.
Trying my best.
Like, what the fuck? Like, and at this conference, it really helped me to understand that these cardiothoracic surgeons, they don't see shit else. Yeah. They don't see nobody. They don't hear nobody else in the room. They don't see nobody else in the room. And then at one point, there was like a question and answer period for, you know, most of the stuff. And so at one point, this guy, he stood up, and I guess he was, you could tell he was probably pissed off that he didn't get chosen to be one of the speakers, because he was just like, the research does show it. And this was published in 2014. And I'm like,
sit down.
I was like, are y'all about to argue right now in front of us? Like, we're all professional.
You know what?
So awkward. And then at one point, first of all, the chairs were so bad. Oh my God, it was so uncomfortable. My back is killing me now.
Which they just redid that conference center? Convention center?
So convention center, it was horrible. Those chairs, horrible.
And were the crazy thin? Skinny chairs? Were they just
They were the regular like conference chairs, but one of them they had like a slight recline, and I'm like, for a person who has back issues, that is not a good thing. And then at one point, because what I wore, I was like, if I'm gonna have to sit in a room for 8+ hours with a bunch of cardio gods, I'm not wearing a 3-piece suit. So of course I had on like a pair of like ripped jeans, a little button down white shirt, and then a sweatshirt on top of that to make it look kind of preppy or whatever. And I had on, what shoes did I have? Oh, I had on some Sperry's, which I hate them because they like really fuck up my pinky toe. But anyway, neither here nor there. Everybody else had on 3-piece suits, and I was like, y'all are dumb. I don't give a fuck how professional I look. And then yesterday or Saturday when I went to the thing, I just wore scrubs. So I've been wearing scrubs ever since. And I'm like, I'm wearing sneakers because if I want to be able to sit with my legs open and comfortable. So, and also speaking of comfortability and speaking of my back being fucked up, I want to send a special shout out to my friend and former coworker, Quinta. I'm not going to say her last name. Quinta found my massage therapist in literally less than 20 minutes.
I'm trying to see if I can get the clapping sound.
Oh,
I can't.
I was going to say, are you on your computer or your iPad?
My computer, and it says it'll play it. I'll cut this part out.
Okay, no worries.
I thought we could soundboard it. I guess not, bitch. Okay, keep talking.
Or maybe we can, maybe it'll play it later or something. But yeah, so I already scheduled an appointment with him, but I do want to thank everybody who made a conscious effort to help me find my missing massage therapist. He really wasn't missing. He just quit his job at one location. I didn't know where he was.
I don't know if he was missing or he was hiding, you know?
I did message him on Facebook Messenger. He did not respond.
Oh, no.
But when I... But the thing is, here's the thing. I don't think he goes on Facebook because I saw that his last post was from like 5 years ago. So I don't think he
properly stalked this man.
Oh, absolutely. Because I wanted to make sure. But also, too, I've already scheduled my appointment. He better not cancel because I'm going to go postal. That's all I'm saying. Allegedly.
Damn. That was some grade A investigative work. Good job. Listen,
Quinta needs to, you cannot convince me Quinta's not an arc. She is.
You know
she found that man in 20 minutes. I literally said, I texted her on Saturday and I was like, hey, I need you to help me find so-and-so. And she's just like, oh, what happened to him? I was like, he left his job or quit or whatever. He no longer works at that location. 20 minutes later, this bitch texted me a picture and was like, is this him?
It's because she's from the Valley. And I'll tell you something about girls from the Valley. They'll put their mind to something and they'll get it done. So don't mess with a girl from the valley. Don't do
Listen,
it.
Listen, it was. Oh, I'm so glad that she found him, because now my bet can be rescued. Because that conference, like, I don't think people really understand, like, going to continuing education unit conferences or like just going to conferences in general is a lot on your body. Like, it's information overload. It's so educational, but it's information overload. Yes.
And then at one point, like, do you remember being on field work when you were a student and I would just come home and be like, oh my God,
overwhelmed. Like, I just want silence. And then at the symposium on Friday, at one point, like, it was lunchtime, and so they fed us, which was great. The food was really amazing.
What'd you eat?
And then, huh?
What'd you eat?
I had these little roasted potatoes. They had the little perfect yeast rolls. They had sauteed vegetables like zucchini, squash, carrots. And what else did they have? They had something else on there that I ate. They had like chicken and fish. And then they did have this amazing red velvet cupcake. It was really good.
Ooh, okay.
So, but during the lunchtime, I was like, oh, okay, great. We've been sitting here for 5 hours. I can just take a break and just relax. No, I try to go back in the little conference room. Here comes the other lady. She's like, oh no, ma'am, we have another presentation that's happening during lunch. And I was like, no. I don't want to eat my lunch and listen to nobody talk. I want everybody to shut the hell up. Like, And she's like, well, we're asking everybody. And I was like, and I'm politely declining. Like, what part of that don't you understand? And I tried to just say, I was like, I left my water in here. So I just sat there. I was like, you're not kicking me out. No, no.
I need peace and quiet to eat my lunch.
You don't.
Also, I paid to be here. I don't have to go see everybody.
Listen, these cardio gods, man. I'm telling you, they're weird. They're so weird. But I did see a former aortic surgeon that we used to work with, who is no longer at the hospital that I'm no longer at. Anyway, but I forgot his name, so I couldn't say hi to him. But anyway, he looked at me like, I know this girl from somewhere, but he probably couldn't remember my name either.
It's weird seeing physicians outside of the hospital.
True.
Like, it's kind of on the same line as seeing teachers outside of school, but even more different, I feel. Yeah. I don't know.
Because you're just like, wow, that's what you look like in real clothes? It's like seeing a nurse outside of scrubs.
You know what it is? I think, like, we not put up with a lot of shit, but, like, you kind of...
Yeah, we do.
We do put up with a lot of shit, but a lot of the stuff that you would be like, I'm not going to deal with that, you deal with and you make allowances for, because you're like, okay, they're a surgeon, they're a physician, like, I'm at work.
Yeah.
That was kind of fucking weird, but like, they're not up here, but you know, the echelon of being a doctor physician. So when I see you in fucking cargo shorts with your wife at Costco, I'm like, oh, you're just a regular bitch like the rest of us. Like, I don't give a shit out here. Like, you're just fucking weird.
Yeah. And see, I don't think I've ever had that switch in my head of like seeing a doctor as like an MD. It's like, it was a requirement for you to get your bitch ass in the door of medicine. Like, you're not special because you got an MD. And that's not to discredit what people go through who have MDs, because going through med school is not easy. Going through PT school is not easy.
You have to be here just like the rest of us.
Exactly. Like, that's why I always tell people, when I did like guest lectures, I would always tell the kids, I'm like, you are only special to your mama and to your daddy. Everybody that you come across that's a PT or an OT got the same damn degree you got. Nobody cares. Just like even a neuro doctor, no one cares, dude. You had to come into this business with this degree in order to practice. You're not special. I mean, you're special to your patients and to your mom and daddy, but to the field of medicine, nah. It was a requirement to get in the door.
That's why, you know, those therapists that'll always, they always have their 2 cents to put in. Have you tried it? Like, and not to be helpful or to help problem solve. They just want to show you that they know things, or they want to be like, I know how to treat better. I'm like, I took the same class as you did.
You're not educating me on anything.
Nope. Didn't ask for help.
The same board exam. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, other than that, my week was amazing.
I want to know about your patient that yelled at you.
Alyssa.
Because you didn't tell me about it.
Yo, I had a patient this week. Y'all, it's very rare that I get cussed out by patients, because I will cuss your ass out.
You look like someone who's going to cuss someone right the fuck back out.
Because I tell all my patients too, you cuss at me, bitch, my cuss words work too. But this one patient cussed me out to kingdom come. And I couldn't do nothing but just like, oh yeah.
Is that so?
No. Goodbye, sir.
Huh.
This man did. So I go into his house. I go into his room.
Whoa.
No. I won't say what happened to the man because that might be a, it's not technically a HIPAA violation. Anyway, the man came in for an extenuating circumstance, right?
Yeah.
The only reason why he was admitted because his glucose was like sky high, like in the 900s. It was crazy.
Anyway, oh my God.
Right. So anyway, the nurse had already told me, and they, like, this is one of the nurses that she don't take shit from no patient. Like, she runs this particular unit. Like, they know, do not mess with this particular nurse. And me and her get along very well. So she tells me, she was like, oh, you have him? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, good luck. And I was like, you know how when a nurse says good luck. So,
you know, and I was like, yeah, good luck. And I'm like, wait, I don't think you mean that.
Exactly.
They never do.
So then I go in his room and he's asleep. Well, at first I see him and he's on contact precautions. So at first when I see him, he's sitting up eating something or whatever on the side of his bed. So I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy eval. I'm going to be in and out. No. Mm-hmm. Then he turns over. His butt is hanging out. His balls are hanging out of the covers. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be very interesting. So he's trying to pretend like he's asleep. And so I'm shaking him. I'm like, Mr. Johnson. Obviously, his name is not Mr. Johnson. I was like, Mr. Johnson. It's Monica from physical therapy. And so he wakes up. And so far, the thing is going great. But his TV was on 100. Literally, these TVs go up to the number 100. Okay. So I was like, hi, I'm from physical therapy. Let me turn your TV down. He's like, I can't hear you. Turn the TV down. And I was like, I'm trying.
Put that shit on mute.
But the mute button wasn't working. So I had to literally hold the button down and turn the volume down. So as I'm turning the volume down, and as soon as he couldn't hear the TV anymore, he just went off. Don't turn it off. And I was like, sir, I didn't turn the TV off. If you can clearly see, the TV is on, but I just turned down the volume so we could hear each other a little better. Don't turn it off. And I was like, Mr. Johnson, I'm asking you nicely. Please don't yell at me because I'm not yelling at you. Get the fuck out of my room, you fucking bitch. Whoa. And then I said, I kind of forgot where I was. And then he was like, you're fucking screaming at me. Get the fuck out of here, you motherfucker. Mind you, this man only weighed 114 pounds.
I'll break him in half.
So I was just like, Mr. Sir, you will not talk to me like that, okay? Because all I'm trying to do is help you. And let me explain to you why I'm here. Fuck you, bitch. Get the fuck out of my room. Shut the fuck up. And I was like, all right, you can come to my bitches in here, goddammit. So he was like, I was like, you have a great day. He was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, make me, son.
With your fucking hyperglycemic gas.
Yeah, me. I was just like, that wasn't even necessary. So then, of course, the nursing staff hear it. Out of the room, they all laughing at me. And I'm like, y'all heard that? And so, of course, all my good, savvy comeback lines I said after I got in the room, I was like, I should have said, but I didn't because I didn't think about it.
Yelling from the door.
I was just clutching my pearls because I couldn't believe he cussed me out like that. And I was like, damn, I wasn't even in your room for like 10 minutes. So,
I think it's the, you know how it is a like effortful thing every day? Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it is to not act a fucking fool at work, to not cuss, to not speak my mind, to not do all this shit. And because it's our professional setting, you assume that everybody there is operating on the same plane. So when someone comes at you crazy, I'm always like, wait a second. I thought we were all trying to be fucking adult professional people here.
No, he cussed me. I'm talking about, I had never heard so many MFs and Bs. I said, sir, I ain't gonna be too many more of your bitches. That's what I said. I said, sir, I ain't gonna be too many more of your bitches now. I'm trying to help you, little punk ass. I didn't call him a punk. I wanted to. But I was like, sir, just as well as your cuss words work, mine do too. So I suggest you calm down. He was like, close my fucking door, bitch. And I left that shit wide open. Nope. And I didn't turn his TV back up.
Good.
See if you can work your remote now, sir.
I had an inmate, a patient who's an inmate. And you know how I love fucking prison talk.
Prison talk, right.
Thank you. And he just like was over everybody's shit. So I went in there and he was just being kind of a jerk, not super mean. He was just ornery. He was just like, no, get the fuck out of my room. And I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. I became best friends with all his little fucking guards. So I'm in there every day, like, hey guys, how you doing? What's up? I'm like, oh yeah, you don't want to work with me? That's fine. I'm gonna stand in here and bother you, and you can cuss me the fuck out. And if you get out of line, Joe or Jim or fucking Carl back here has got my back. You're chained to the bed, and we're having a great fucking time. All right.
Exactly.
And you can join the party, but you're being an asshole.
I'm telling you, it's hard as a professional not to cuss back at patients when they cussing at you. And here's the thing. I get it. Medically, everybody's in a different space. You lose a bit of your independence. The whole yada yada bullshit. Yeah, we know. But all I'm saying is, for as a person who is a cusser, not in professional spaces, but baby, I ain't gonna be too many more of your bitches. Just saying. It's very hard for me to not
catch me out of these scrubs.
Listen, first of all, I'm from South Florida. Okay. And as a South Floridian, like we will crack on people real hard. Like you know how New Orleans, they rib on people, or you know, something they call it ranking. We crack, okay, in South Florida. And as a person who got a slick mouth, it's very difficult in a professional space for you to cuss me out and say all kind of F-ers and M-F-ers. So you could imagine me trying to type up this note that was like, we're canceling the consult because he cussed me out.
You motherfucker.
So I had to put a little stars in there and make sure I had as many stars that needed to be to spell the word. And then my coworker, the OT, he was getting ready to go in. I was like, he just cussed me out and called me everything but a child girl. I don't think you should go in there. He was like, oh, okay, all right, cool. So then he said that he tried to go back in the afternoon and he heard him cussing out somebody else. I was like, didn't I just tell you not to go and see the patient? But you wanted to go and make a difference, I guess. But anyway.
But you know what? Not you, because you're a normal person, like with a normal personality.
Yeah.
But there is a therapist, a physical therapist at our old job.
Yeah.
And he would always tell me, whatever patient we had together, he'd be like, oh, well, I already tried them and they were in such a bad mood and they threw me out. I already tried them. They don't want therapy. And I'm like, yeah, because you're fucking weird and no one wants to talk to you or be around you. Like, that's why. That would piss me off because I was like, you've ruined it now. You've ruined it because you went in there and you sold therapy and they fucking hated you. So now I have to go in there and like, hopefully they'll let me
control.
Yeah, exactly. But he's always like, oh, I wouldn't even try it. They were so rude and they don't want therapy. I was like, no, motherfucker, they don't want you because you're weird.
Yeah, definitely. I have definitely been around people like that where patients are just like, don't send that motherfucker back in here. And I'm like, don't worry. You can't spell PT without, you can't spell party time without PT. Don't worry. We're good, you know. But yeah, it was insane. I'll tell you what else was insane with regard to cussing out people. We got to talk about it. That's going to be the main subject of conversation right now. Hiss by Megan Thee Stallion.
Let's talk about... You've been in a Bible study, correct? In your life? All right. Yeah, you took out your little highlighters. You're fucking in the word. You're dissecting shit. Me with these hiss lyrics, bitch.
So if you don't know, if you've been living under a rock, you need to go to YouTube and you need to type in Megan Thee Stallion hiss. And it is basically not a diss record. It is a response record to everybody that has been talking shit about this young lady for the past 2 years or so. She doesn't say any names, but
she said, get off my chest.
She literally comes for everybody who came for her. And what I find interesting is that album is getting ready. Like she's relating a lot of stuff to snakes. And bitch, if this was just your hiss, I'm afraid to see what your bite is going to be.
I haven't felt this way listening to a song in a minute. It was
a great day for hip hop. Great day for rap, for female MCs. Good God. Tina Snow came out and showed her ass, her whole ass.
Every line is good. I don't give a fuck. It's fun to like, what's the word? It's fun to theorize who she's talking about. Yeah. Because she's been in the media so much for the last, what, like 2-3 years. So like you kind of know.
She's been silent the whole time.
Yeah, like Tory Lanez shot her in the foot. She was dating Party. He allegedly cheated on her. All of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so to go line by line and try to guess who the fuck she's talking about has been this little fun game. I love it.
when she said about when she talked about the lipo and talking about how the BBLs and how the men be having the same scars, I was like, Drake, that was
Drake. Drake, 110%.
We directed at you. Then at the end, she says, don't be writing me. Why don't you write this dude? Why don't you download JPay? I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, I felt it in my heart. Oh, she was like, why don't you schedule a conjugal visit? Megan. Oh, my God. When she brought up Megan's Law, I was just like.
So the big thing has been that she brought up Megan's Law, and everyone is assuming she's talking about Nicki Minaj because Megan's Law is a law about maintaining safe environments for children in relation
to registered sex offenders.
Yeah, it's about making sure that registered sex offenders are registered and that people have access to that information. Which, if you don't know, Nicki Minaj is married to Kenneth Petty, who
is a registered sex
offender.
You don't have to say allegedly on that because he is.
No, because that is a fact. That is.
And even though people were saying that it happened when he was 15 years old, and I do understand that, but he was allegedly tried as an adult, which is why he has to be on that registry. But also, too, weren't there some other claims that he sexually assaulted another woman, and that his victim, allegedly Nicki Minaj, was basically bullying and kind of having her fans do the same thing or whatever, allegedly. But anyway,
it's just not a good look, but it's also just a fact. It's one of those things, like, it would be, you know, if you ever had a DWI in your life and people could look that up, then people could call you a drunk, you know what I mean?
Talk about it.
Yeah, people could always talk about it because it's just fact. It's on a legal record. Anyway, of course, Nicki went on Queen Radio and went on Instagram Live and just started
72-hour rant, and I was like, Nick, here's the thing for Nicki Minaj. I am not a personal fan of her. I like some of her music when she first came out, but I really want Nicki Minaj to understand, baby, you are Nicki Minaj, and you are unraveling in real time, and you appear to allegedly be on a cocaine high.
Bitch, now, the way she said, fragment footed bitch, this bullet fragment foot bitch, fragment footed. I was like, yo.
People are comparing her to like Dr. Seuss, 1 foot, big foot, 2 foot, blue foot. And I was just like, that's what you respond with?
She said that Meg Thee Stallion should conjure her mother because her mother is dead.
Which is horrible.
That she should conjure her mother and apologize for all the shit she's doing.
But see, now I feel like if Megan Thee Stallion come back out with something, if Nicki Minaj responds in an actual record, and Tina Snow come back for your deceased father and or your child, or the child that you stated that you, I guess, I don't know, she had an abortion when she was younger, I think, because people were talking about that this son that she would have had, but I think something happened where she lost a son with some guy named Aaron, right? I guess it's her ex-boyfriend, allegedly. But now, if Megan Thee Stallion bring that up, you can't be mad at nobody but yourself, because these rap beefs, baby, they unlimited. There ain't no rules to them.
I feel like Meg did what you should do, which is just sit silent, let all that shit come in, let Drake talk shit about you, let all these fucking people theorize on what really happened, see who your fucking friends are. Channel it all to the music. Give us something to fucking listen to. Get your streams up.
And that's where Nicki Minaj lost. That's where Nicki Minaj lost, because I feel like first of all, Megan said one line. She just said, y'all bitches mad at Megan, but you need to be mad at Megan's Law. That's literally all she said.
Which could mean anything.
Which could be, she could be talking about a bunch of different people. But my thing is, for you as a rapper and self-proclaimed queen of rap, or even just record sales and all that kind of stuff, like, let's not pretend like Nicki Minaj is not a, you know, award-winning, high caliber rapper because of what she's been able to do in this industry, right? But at the same time, I wish she would have taken all this aggression and went to the studio, because we didn't need to see you unraveling in real time. And that, to me, that just made her look so horrible. And I'm like, you are your own worst enemy. You beating yourself up because everybody turning on you now. And then she sent a tweet out that was like, I'm paraphrasing, something to the effect of, oh, I'm calling on my will do anything for me bitches. And she put JT in there from the City Girls and Ice Spice and Tasha Cobbs. I was like, Tasha Cobbs over here praising the Lord. She ain't getting no deep battle with you.
It was insane. I'm just like, this would have been a perfect time to go Roman. Like, give me some old Roman's revenge. Mm-hmm. Give me some crazy shit. And then you just look, Queen Radio always makes her look crazy. Instagram Live always makes her look crazy.
I think too, because I really do believe this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I feel like people have put Nicki Minaj on this pedestal because for a very long time, whether it was done by the powers that be or if it was just the fan base, Nicki Minaj was the main rapper that was pushed in radio, social media, just in the media altogether. And I feel like her being so high on this pedestal, sometimes she forgets where her position is. Because for you to be at the tippy top of this industry and then for you to start going on Instagram Live doing stuff like that or Facebook Live or whatever live, you know, arena she was on and start doing stuff like that, it's like, again, people are getting to see you have a manic episode in real time. I'm not saying she has bipolar disorder or anything like that, but you can't convince me that you going on multiple hours worth of a live and then saying, if you talking about something about if you pay something with you can beat Megan Raw or you can basically have sex with her raw if you give her a beat or something like, and I'm just like, her tweets are unhinged and I'm like, Nicki, I need you not to be Onika because you're showing us Onika and not Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
And it's because and I think it was very different when Remy Ma released Sheether. And awesome, Nicki Minaj didn't have no response to that because, I mean,
what why would you?
And I just feel like, again, if Megan Thee Stallion just put this out and this was a hiss, I'm afraid to see what her actual bite is going to be because she got so much in the chamber.
I can't wait. And it just like, I listened to it and I was like, this makes me feel like we're going to have a good fucking year. I need a new Megan album. What did she say? She was like, everyone wants a season since I claimed this. Like, I implore you to go listen to that song.
It's amazing.
Sit down, print the lyrics. Don't even get them on the phone. Fucking print them out.
The visuals were beautiful. First of all, Megan Thee Stallion's body, her face, just everything about her, beautiful. Beautiful.
Talk about a breakup glow up. Just like a fucking, she just went away.
Got
hot.
She got in her bag and she just came back and was like, okay, I'm going to address this shit one time. Because she started off the song. I'm going to start this song off by saying, fuck y'all. I was like, have you been talking to my patient? Because he sure cussed me out in the same way. But I think it was a great day for hip hop. And the reason why I say that is because people forget a lot of times that women, like female MCs, can really rap. Obviously, Megan Thee Stallion is his, and like Remy Ma, Sheether, you know, all of these other like, you know, stereotypical diss records, they can't put that on the regular, you know, radio. They can't put that on their albums and stuff like that. But I think people forget that rap beats and these battles and stuff like that, they go back from the 90s. I don't know if you've ever heard Queen Latifah do a diss record. I'm going to tell you this. Mm-hmm. A lot of people sleep on Queen Latifah's rap ability. And I think it's because she does the movies and she's done the TV shows and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. Please go back and just listen to Queen Latifah's Name Calling Part 1 and 2.
Two.
And you will understand why she from Jersey. Like, people going to be like, wait a minute, this ain't the UNITY person. It sure the hell ain't.
Damn.
I mean, even from Roxanne Shanté, she had a whole diss record on Moni Love and Queen Latifah. You got Kaya, who has had diss records on Trina, Jackie O, Foxy Brown, all of these amazing rappers. And I'm just like, you know, rap battles, that is a part of hip hop.
It just, well, yeah, and like, what happened to the fun rap beef? Like, where no one's gonna get killed, no one gets shot in the streets. Like, it's
that's
just
how it was in the '80s.
I know.
And '90s.
And kind of, I feel like in the last couple of years, like after, oh no, why can't I think of who got shot? Lauren
five,
London,
six, seven, eight. Lauren London did not get shot. What? Well,
who was Lauren? Not Lauren London. Yeah,
Nipsey Hussle.
Thank you, Nipsey Hussle. Remember when
all that
was
a rap beef?
No, no, no. But I remember when all those rappers started getting shot randomly, like a bunch of
people. XXXTentacion.
Yeah, and I feel like we kind of calmed down in rap beef since then. Like, it's been Drake and Meek Mill, Drake and, or Pusha T and Kanye, like, random shit.
But see, a lot of that, though, like, even Young Dolph and, like, what's his name, Pop Smoke, those were, like, people who were not in the industry killing them. These were, like...
I know, but it's just...
I don't want to say gang-related, but because I don't want to put them in that box, but it was street-related type situations.
I miss the good old fun rap beefs, where it's just like, let's talk our shit on the albums.
First off, fuck your bitch and the click you click.
Amen. Well, that didn't end out so well, but...
True. But they didn't kill each other, though.
That's true. But this is, like, that's half the fun of hip-hop, is, like, everyone's just being braggadocious, talking their shit, fuck you, and we can leave it at that. It's like leaving it on the court.
But you know what I don't like and I don't appreciate is a lot of Nicki Minaj fans or stans.
Barbs.
The barbs are, like, doxing people. And I really want people to understand, like...
We don't
the extent of that. Like, my thing is, you can have an infatuation with a person. You can love a rapper. You can love whomever you want to love, right? You can be a Beyonce stan. You could be a fan of these people. But when you start getting into committing crimes, which doxing, the results of what doxing can actually occur is a crime, and your ass will go to jail. And people are releasing people's phone numbers, their addresses. And I'm just like, if you have to go this far for a person that you don't even, that does not even know you exist, that's a problem. And the fact that you feel like you have to, because somebody has an opinion about someone that you're infatuated with, like, I don't understand what's wrong with people and why people feel like they have to do that.
It's a different makeup chemically in the brain.
It is.
It's the same people who, like, leave horrible comments on Instagram, the Instagrams of celebrities and things, because to you and me, we're just like, you know, you either leave a positive comment or you just keep it pushing. Like, why the fuck would I go tell you you're a nasty slut bitch and I can't believe you posted this? I don't give a shit. But some people really feel entitled and just, like, empowered to do these crazy things. Doxing is insane to me.
It is.
Because it just takes one person, like, what do you always say? Put a battery in one person's back.
Yeah.
To do some crazy shit.
I mean, and they'll start calling, like, what they call, and I had never heard of this term until maybe like a couple months ago, swatting people, where they will call the police and say, oh, this person is holding somebody hostage, or they have a gun in their house or whatever, and have all of these police officers run to your house or, like, do wellness checks and stuff like that. And I'm just like, y'all, do y'all realize there are whole genocides that are going on right now? We're getting ready to go into an upcoming election that is going to change the trajectory of everything. And y'all are putting all this energy into your local person who you don't know to try to release their address to send somebody there, but you won't put this energy into your local elections. Something is wrong with that.
Ever see that Law and Order episode where this woman's address was put on this website for, it was like a kink website and with people who had rape fantasies? It was a post that basically said, like, this is my address, this is the door, will be on, like, whatever, and the fantasy is, like, this woman wants to be raped. So this guy goes to this woman's address and sexually assaults her because he saw it on this post for on this website, and someone had doxed her and used that and it was just some random girl, and they put her.
Horrible!
Isn't that insane? So that's why you don't dox people, everyone, because something crazy can happen. Like,
I just think that you as a fan of Nicki Minaj can be pissed off because of whatever was said or people making think pieces, but to physically do something that harms another person, you're taking that too far. Yeah. That is beyond too far.
She's a fucking millionaire. She is fine. All of this doesn't actually matter to her.
She can fight her own battles. She legit can. This woman came up in an era before social media to a degree. She was battling, you know, rapping against men, okay, who I'm quite sure called her everything under the sun, and women who called her everything under the sun. She's had everything said about her at this point. So you trying to help her fight a battle, she really don't need your help. And I just don't understand, again, why you would commit crimes on behalf of this person. Number one, they didn't ask you to do it, but also two, that ain't gonna bail you out when you get to jail.
Absolutely not. You can't.
And then when somebody asks you, well, why are you in jail? Well, because I released somebody information in the name of Nicki Minaj.
In the name of Nicki Minaj.
And she never gonna put no money on your book. She's never gonna come rescue you. It's the same thing with the Beehive. I'm just like, Beyonce doesn't know you exist personally. She's appreciative of your support, of her artistry and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that you pay to see her and her concerts and you support everything she does. But if you commit crimes on behalf of Beyonce when she didn't ask you to, you gonna sit in there by yourself, and I can guarantee you Beyonce ain't putting no money on your book.
It's like that show, Swarm. You remember that show?
Yes.
Y'all
and
crazy.
She out here killing real people. And I'm
killing
like
her people that she knows. That is wild.
I just want people to understand that this is a part of life. People are gonna have opinions and thought processes that differ from you. And just because they don't like or don't agree with your fave or say something about your fave, that does not give you the right to release people's information online. That does not give you the right to show up at people's houses and stuff. Like, you don't get your ass killed around here playing with some people like that. And then you're going to be sitting in a hospital paralyzed, like, I don't know what went wrong. You decided to come out of your character for no reason.
God, can you imagine?
No, I don't want to ever. The blood of Jesus against all of them. Lord, keep me safe. Keep me protected.
But baby, man, do I love the drama. And also, here on this podcast, we are Meg Thee Stallion stans. We've done been saying that. So
listen, I'm a Monica stan. You come over here, your ass getting shot. That's all I'm saying. Don't play with me. Don't play with me. Please. I don't want none of the smoke from the barbs. Listen, I don't want none of the smoke from the barbs. I don't want none of the smoke from the Beehive, from Tina Snow, from nobody. I just want to be able to go to work, do my job, go home, come on home, take me a nap, eat, and call it a day.
What is the line she says about Tina Snow in your nose? Oh my God. Oh, she says, he can't move on, can't let it go. He hooked, nose full of that Tina Snow.
That to me, I feel like she's talking about party on that one.
100%, 100%.
But I think too, when you keep saying stuff about a person and keep, you know, poking that bear, you cannot unfortunately change the consequences of that. And she was at some point going to release it. You already knew she was going
to
come out.
Yeah, well, to me, I'm like, if this is how I make my money,
yeah,
why the fuck? And this, I know this is going to be such an attention. Anything I do is going to garner attention and criticism. Why am I not going to put it into a song that I can make money off of?
Exactly. And I think Nicki Minaj at this point, just respond. If you want to respond, like respond in a rap. Don't go on live no more. We need to hear your inner thoughts. Your inner thoughts. Nobody should hear your inner thoughts. No one needs that. If you're talking about don't let Roman come out. No, let Roman come out. Let it be a Roman versus a Tina Snow, because again, that's putting real hip hop back in the mix and all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like she spiraled like in real time. And it was one line and it could have been meant for a lot of other people. And I get it. You probably felt subbed. And if I was a rapper, I would probably be pissed off like Nicki Minaj is, but I wouldn't put it on live. That's all.
I'm just like, I feel like the men of rap were kind of like down and stalling, and I feel like the women of rap, we could really amp it up right now, really get some stuff out there if we really mobilized here.
I feel like there's a lot more unity though, honestly, within the female rap community. Like, I mean, you have, you know, Remy Ma, who did this huge thing at the Summer Jam, where she brought out like Cardi B and brought out all the old heads from the 90s, Queen Latifah. She brought out Rhapsody. Rhapsody is not from the 90s, but she brought out like Tierra Whack. She brought out all these amazing people. And then you have Lotto now in this new generation, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, the City Girls. They're all jumping on each other's records. Even Sexy Red, Scarlett. You have all these amazing, talented women that are jumping on each other's records, which I love that. But then it's like, because you got beef with one person, now because you hop on this person's record, now you got to have beef with them. And it's like,
no. Okay. But I feel like there was a push, like when Cardi B and Meg would, like, tail end of Cardi B's height into Meg Thee Stallion, where the narrative was, why do women in rap have to beef? Why do we have to be pit against each other?
Yeah.
Which is cool, but also it's so much fun. I love the beef.
And I mean, I agree. I like not necessarily the beef, but I like the battle rapping back and forth. But you can still collaborate and make money. Like, it's just like doing a versus. Like, you have people who do a versus all the time and they're just going bar for bar, hit for hit, whatever, but then they can still come collaboratively and make a song together. You know what I mean? It's just like on a basketball court or on a football field. I'm not your friend on this field and on this court. We are enemies right now. But when we come out of these uniforms and we take off Roman, we take off Tina Snow, then we could have a conversation that's not be, you know, but not be an issue. But then when you hit below the belt talking about, you know, somebody's dead parent, like, you, all bets are off at that point, unfortunately, you know?
Okay. But similar, but not related. Did you see the Lovers and Friends lineup?
No. What is that? Okay. A concert or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's the one in Vegas, and I always think it's a fake, like a fake lineup, because it always looks so good. But let me just, I just want to read you really quick. Janet Jackson, Alicia Keys, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Gwen Stefani, Lil Wayne, Backstreet Boys, Usher, Ciara, TLC, T-Pain, Ja Rule and Ashanti, Nelly, Akon, Neo, Timbaland, Keisha Cole, Brandy, Monica, Eve, Jodeci, Six Lack, Sean Paul, Kelly Rowland, Craig David, Robin
Thicke,
Escape, Tank, Jermot, Pretty Ricky.
Is this not Coachella? What's going on here?
It's Lovers and Friends in Vegas.
Okay, but here's my question. How many songs does each person get? Because that sounds like a damn 20-hour concert.
I think the big names get more songs. The smaller names just get a couple. Like, Lil Wayne's only performing the Carter 3 is what it says. But it says Usher's performing Confessions.
You get one song a piece, bitch. Who got time to be standing up that? What? You named off like 30 artists.
I'm just telling you, this lineup looks it sounds fake, but it's real.
How much are the tickets?
I don't know, probably insane. But that would have been a good one to go to. I think they're sold out.
Yeah, that's too much.
But I heard, okay, so Coachella, the lineup for Coachella to me looks good. It's like Lana Del Rey, No Doubt, which I would go to. I think they said it's the lowest selling Coachella ever.
Who is Lana Del Rey?
Really?
Like, is she Gen
Z? She sings Young and Beautiful from The Great Gatsby.
That was a light bulb.
When I'm no longer young and beautiful.
Ring a bell.
It doesn't. And she's okay. Anyway.
Is she Gen Z though?
Not real. Kind of, maybe a little.
She's also white.
She's also white.
Good, I'm not trying to be discriminatory, but I just don't know her. I just don't know her.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But do you remember, I don't know if you remember last year, everyone got stuck at Coachella in the mud. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
No one could get out. And I'm like, between that and us being in the state that we're in economically, I'm just like, who the fuck is going to pay to go do that?
Well, apparently, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's happening politically. So who knows where we're going to be by the time that, because when is that concert?
April.
Who knows? We might be in a third world war. Who knows?
I don't wish it on anyone, but who the fuck knows?
Well, I'll tell you what we don't know. Lord Jesus, the Texas borders.
Amen.
So the state of as people would say, the great state of Texas, I don't think it's really that great of a state, and I live here, but I'm not from here, so I completely understand.
There's one thing about Texas. Texans love Texas.
You know what's hilarious is every time a born native Texan talks about the great state of Texas, they automatically get a country boy accent.
Because there's something about it, and it pulls it out of you. It's in your heart. It's in your soul. It's the great state, and we will always just, it comes right.
You Texans are unhinged. That's all I have to say.
Honestly, there's something it's kind of like your siblings where you're like, I can talk shit about them all I want, but as soon as anyone talks shit about Texas, I'm like, oh yeah, really? You want to talk shit about Texas?
I'm like that with Florida, because I'm a Floridian, and when people talk shit about Floridians, I'm like, bitch, we are amazing people. It's the people from up north that come down here and commit crimes that make our state look bad, and Ron DeSantis with his little feet. Anyway, well, the great state of Texas has been having some issues. So I remember one particular governor who currently sits as a governor, aka Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels leading the way.
Remember when Roe v. Wade got overturned and he said, well, and they were asking him, did he make exceptions or is in his law to ban abortion, is he going to make concessions for women who are the who get pregnant as a result of sexual assault? And he said, well, the state, great state of Texas, we're just going to get rid of all the rapists, right? And so data has come out now that since the state of Texas has put a ban on abortion, that over 26,000 new cases of sexual assault that resulted in pregnancy have now been documented. Not only that, the Texas border, there's, you know, Hot Wheels and Biden have been going back and forth, but other states have been lending their support to the state of Texas because we have, unfortunately, a border control issue, right, is what they say. Now, I used to have a very hard stance on border control, right, and immigration. And I don't like the word immigrant because I call them asylum seekers,
I've
right?
I've heard you say that before, right. Yes.
I think as I'm turning, like getting closer to 40, I feel like parts of me are turning into a Republican and I don't know why.
You've been in Texas way too long, honey.
I've been in Texas too long. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I saw a video and I was like, you know how when you see those videos of people, of asylum seekers trying to cross the border and you're like, it's like 20 or 30 of them. Let them cross. It's not that big of a deal. Well, I saw this video. I don't know if it's fake news, but I did see this video where it was, no lie, it was probably like tens of thousands of people trying to cross the border. And I was like, where are they going to go? And who's paying for that?
That's why we're shipping them to the Northeast, honey.
I mean, they're shipping them to Chicago. And I feel like everybody has a right to equality and freedom. But when my loans aren't paid off, I got to say, hey, wait a minute. If my loans, my student loans are paid off, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people in this state that are suffering. Inflation is going crazy everywhere. But I don't know. I feel like parts of me are becoming a Republican and I don't like it. I need to get the fuck out of this state. I really do.
It's just hard because the borders are overwhelmed. Like the sheer amount of people trying to come and there's no resources for them and they're cutting funding.
Yeah.
And they're cutting, like, there's just, there has to be a way, a system, a something, but no one has figured it out. And in the meantime, they're just getting more people there. Like, it's just one of those things. It's, and I don't know the answer, but on this side of it, you're like, we have a homelessness problem. We have a veteran issue. We have like insane student loan debt. We have all of these things. But there's got to be a way. And I don't know. I feel like there are people who come over here from another country and are, you know, law-abiding citizens. Mm-hmm. And they are members of society who are productive and inclusive and all these things. Mm-hmm. But there's also a large number of people who come over here and don't have a fucking plan because they're just trying to escape something horrible, which is understandable.
Yeah. And, like, I think, too, it's like when people come over seeking asylum, like, you can't really have a plan technically because you don't know what's over here.
Right.
You just have this, you have this idea of what you think America is because of what the movies show you, what TV shows you, the rumors that you hear about the United States of America. And then when the people get here, they're just like, God damn, I didn't realize it was this bad. It's like, yes, bitch, we were trying to warn y'all. It ain't all cracked up to be over here. But also too, it's like, you know, The unfortunate part is that the middle class continues to be the brunt of everything with regard to where is this money coming from, for housing, for, you know, a lot of these programs, because they're not taking from the rich. The rich are still getting tax breaks right now. Yeah. But it's the middle class that's holding up this economy, unfortunately. And our rates are going up. Everybody's more, you know, mortgages are high. Rent is high. Gas is high. All of this stuff. But it's also a domino effect, too, from everything that happened from a whole ass pandemic. Like, we can't deny that the pandemic that we are still in, let's be clear, because it's not over, because COVID numbers are going back up. But this whole pandemic slow down production of everything. And I don't care that it's been 2 or 3 years. People are like, it's been 3 years. No. It's been 3 years since COVID first started.
We're still dealing with COVID shit.
Everybody's economy is still trying to catch up, except for New Zealand. New Zealand is the only country that has figured out how to eradicate it multiple times.
Down.
Exactly. They shut their borders down very quickly. And I just feel like, you know, that there is... I mean, I wasn't oblivious that there was a border issue. However,
they're overrun. Build a wall. Put up the fucking fences.
I think because, again, in South, growing up in South Florida, you hear about maybe a dozen of people, of asylum seekers coming over at a time. That video that I saw, it turned me into a stark Republican. I'm not going to lie. I was fearful. Not because I felt like they're running us over. Not like that. But I was just like, in my brain, I was like, whose taxpayers are y'all about to spend to be able to house and feed them and clothe them? Like, where is that going to come from? But then they shipped them, probably most of them, to Chicago. Who knows?
Well, you know what's fucked up is that what I believe to be true is that these people come over and they're thinking, like, you know, even though it's not great, the treatment that we're getting in the States, or like the processing of the immigration in the States, it's still better than whatever the fuck I was dealing with.
True.
In my home country. So to them, they're like, I mean, even worst case scenario, like, you're here, they have to take care, they have to do something with us. Like, we're these people that were here, we're seeking refuge.
Yeah.
Which is very true. But I'm like, what are we? That is so crazy to me that we've been dealing with this for so long.
Yeah.
And there's just no clear plan, which is this money thing, I'm assuming. I don't know where the fuck we're getting the money from. You know what we need is a war, because you know it generates income.
No, we don't need a war. We need men, specifically white men, to stop caring and worrying about women's bodies and trying to control birth. You mean to tell me you made a whole law, you made a whole thing to come against Roe v. Wade, but you can't figure out your own border crisis, Hot Wheels? Clearly your priorities, what do they say? Are the priorities in the room with us, Hot Wheels? Clearly not. You are so focused on the wrong damn thing that you should be focused on trying to find a solution for your own borders, which is, I guess, rewiring and putting up more razor wire, which they told him, take it off. It's almost like Lean on Me. Take the chains off the doors, and he put them back on. But I just feel bad. I feel bad for everybody involved. I feel bad for these asylum seekers who are clearly leaving their countries, leaving everything that they know for a better life because of whatever is going on there. And I feel bad for them because, again, they don't know what's on the other side of crossing this border. And there is nothing. It still technically is better than maybe where they come from. I'm not sure. But at the same time, it's like, I feel bad for us too, as a taxpayers, who then have to bear the brunt of what's going to come out, you know, the outcome of it. But I honestly feel bad for the asylum seekers than I do ourselves. Honestly, I really do.
I remember listening to this podcast that was talking about, like, bipartisan views and why our country is so split now these days, like all of these things. Cause it didn't used to be so stark. It, you know, like, your political affiliation just used to be like, you know, what religion are you? Where do you work?
Right.
What is your political view? Like, and now it's like, that means everything. But they were just saying, when, say, like, a right-leaning, right-wing conservative person and a leftist liberal person hear the same information, they take it in completely different. So if I were to say, like, we have an issue at the border, we have this many people trying to get in, we are overwhelmed, right? They would say, like, statistically, the person leaning to the right would hear, like, there are this many people trying to come in and take these resources that we don't have. And it's going to overwhelm the system. And the person leaning to the left would hear, there's this group of people, this number, that all need our help and need resources, and we have to figure out a way to shift them there.
Yeah.
So they were just kind of talking about how it's like, you can't force these two frames of mind. Like, it's so hard to mend them and mesh them when people are just processing the information so differently.
I also think, too, I don't feel like Congress really wants a real solution.
Oh no, they didn't give a because shit.
If you can solve and figure out how to do all these tactical attacks on other countries and you know, go over here and do this and support genocide. You can figure out your border issue.
But if everyone's focusing on this, this seems like such the big issue, the borders, the people coming in the borders. If everyone's focusing on that, we can do all this other shit because it doesn't seem as crazy and it's not as impactful
exactly
as a human rights issue like the borders.
Well, because even I heard too today that there was an issue where 3 American soldiers were killed in Jordan, I believe it was, as a response to how Yemen is closing the waterways or the water routes. To Israeli troops and stuff like that, of trying to get their supplies in because they're in support of Palestine. Uh-huh. And how 3 American soldiers were killed and I think 25 were injured. And so, of course, on social media, a lot of people were just like, well, what were they doing over there in Jordan in the first place? And it's sad that these men and women, again, are sacrificing their lives for a country who was out for personal gain and greed. And it's like, why are we involving ourselves in shit that like, if you would just call for a ceasefire and condemn Israel for the shit that they're continuing to do. And then, and I guess it happened too, like with regard to like Saudi or Syria. And I'm just like, oh Lord Jesus, y'all are just itching to go to war. God damn it. And now I think you're a Republican in that regard.
I think I'm telling you, they want a war. They're trying to make some money. We need some weapons. We need everyone.
I just don't understand how you make money in war. And they're like, you know what?
Nothing brings a country either more together or more apart than a war.
We just had COVID. Was that not enough?
We were separated on that. There were anti-maskers. There were anti-vaxxers. Like,
and you're going to have anti-war people. It's the same thing.
Maybe. Unless we can get together, unless they can frame it in just the right way at just the right time with just the right person, and they can get us all on the same page, common enemy, and be like, we're going to war. And then unites everybody and stimulates the economy. That's my prediction for 2024.
I just don't understand how war creates money. I'm going to just tell you this. Gen Zers and millennials who are in the military, they're not fighting. First of all, they be in camp. They be in camp and they be practicing with their phones, doing TikToks. These kids, especially Gen Z gonna be like, I'm not going over there. Nope. You're gonna have a bunch of people in jail for AWOL.
Wouldn't it be interesting though if it was like a bunch of robotic soldiers that had to be controlled like remotely by
I Am Legend.
People? Yeah, like some shit like that. So they would need a bunch of young people to control that.
Well, you'll get gamers to do it.
I will just never, the best time for me, TikTok wise, was when they were entertaining the idea of a draft and everyone, all the girls were like, we're not fucking draftable.
I can't drive. I can't even reverse my car. How can I drive a tank?
Like, we're going to stop for drinks. What do you want?
It's crazy. We're going to stop by Starbucks first before we get to the battlefield. It's like, Jesus Lord.
Oh, good.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Well, I'll tell you what I also hate. How people are trying to make child laborers a thing. So, unfortunately, the state of Florida House Committee has actually approved a pro-child labor, which I don't know how you're pro-child labor. It's horrible. But then you want to save all the babies and ban abortion. Anyway. So this bill basically lets bosses schedule 16 and 17-year-olds for over 8-hour shifts on school nights, and now they can work over 30 hours.
So I'm interested in, like, I don't want to say poverty level, but or like lower economic class reasons to why you would need your teenage child to work. Like, that's what I meant. Like, what's the drive behind having children be able to work these kinds of hours? Is it like, we got to help the family out and like, you're 17, we need you to work? But like, you know, I don't know.
I think it's because you got to think about it. Like, McDonald's, like fast food restaurants employ adults, right? And mostly to work those day shifts. And college students to work those day shifts. But when it comes to those night shifts, overnight shifts and stuff like that, most adults are not trying to do that because they've already worked in the day. So the people that you can get to work that mid shift, you know, time 3 to 11, stuff like that, are your high schoolers, because now they're out of school. And I feel like certain industries during that late shift don't have as many adults. And I think that's why they're doing it, to now, you know, say, oh, well, you're responsible enough.
Maybe we need to go back to the old days, you know, when the kids helped out on the farm, because they're getting a little wild.
Well, kids don't want to be in the sun. They want to be TikTok influencers. So
that's true. And yeah. They don't know a hard day's work. They don't know about labor. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to work that like that when I was 17.
No, I don't think you should. I mean, here's the thing. I think kids should get summer jobs. That's about it. I don't think that as a teenager in school, you should be forced to get a full-time job or a part-time job while mm-hmm. you are actively in school. You have a lot of kids that want to do and participate in extracurricular activities. The summertime is the time that we talk about going back in the day. You used to be able to get a job during the summer and make a crap ton of money, then to be able to divvy it out, but still stay in school this fall mm-hmm. and the spring semester. I don't feel like kids should be going to school and working at the same time. Your summertime is your opportunity to do that, because as an adult, you're not, you shouldn't be going to school and working at the same time. Because even when you're in college, I mean, most of us had to work and go to school at the same time. However, but we're adults now. But as kids, I just don't let them kids focus on their academics and their extracurricular activities that make them well-rounded people. Yeah. Don't force them into the labor field already, because then they're going to be 30 years old, pissed off and ready to quit.
My mom used to say, you have your whole life to work.
Exactly. Well, and Nikki Haley is trying to make sure, because she's trying to increase the age of retirement to 70.
I'm sorry. Do you remember when they tried to do that in France and they fucking rioted in the streets? They said, I think the fuck not.
Well, we too busy in the AC. I don't think we're going to riot real bad.
You know how much it would take so much to mobilize. You know, we can't do it. We can't be bothered.
Does anybody have any bottled water? Can I get some Starbucks first? It's the same thing as a draft.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely. But I don't know what rhetoric I've always known for me, like in my age group, everyone's always said like, oh, there will be no retirement to draw. Like, you have to figure out your own retirement. You're not going to be able to get Social Security. There's mm-hmm. nothing.
My generation has said the same thing. I think Gen X has been saying that for a minute. Like, from Gen X down. Has been saying that for a minute, because first of all, there's too many boomers. And then two, they were talking about this housing crisis that a lot of people are not thinking about with regard to the fact that boomers are now 70, 80, 90 years old. And mm-hmm. All these people that need assisted living facilities, and there's not enough assisted living facilities or independent living facilities to go around.
Should we open another housing crisis?
You what?
Should we open an independent living?
We need capital. And so if somebody's willing to give us some capital, absolutely, I run it. I have no problem with it. I think it's a great investment.
Yeah. How much assist do they need in assisted living, do you think?
From the patients I see, they need a shit ton. Might as well call it a sniff. There's one man I had this week. This man could barely stand up because he had hardware removed from his back. And he's like, oh, well, they can just help me. And I'm like, sir, you're like a max assist. Like, you can't even straighten out your legs. And you think you're going to go back to your assisted living facility like that?
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to accept you back. You're going to have to go to a rehab facility for a little bit. It was
sad. You know what I had this week is I was trying to put a Pure Wick back on a lady.
Oh, Lord.
And I said, is that good? She goes, no, honey, you're going to have to move the fat around. Just stick it on up in there. And I was like, what is... Never in my life did I think that this was going to be my job.
Yeah, no.
Fucking I got separating duped. Labia to put in a cooter canoe.
Getting cussed out,
making sure it's in the right spot so you're comfortable, so you can piss on yourself.
And not get up out of the bed and actually just go to the bathroom.
You're 100%.
What has the medical field come to? Last couple things that we want to talk about before we get out of here. I want to congratulate both South Carolina and LSU's women's basketball team for having one of the highest rated basketball games this season. There were 1.5 million viewers that saw that game, had a sold out crowd. South Carolina came out on top. I think the score was 76-70. But I think it was an amazing time for women's basketball. And I love the fact that Dawn Staley wore a sweatshirt that said, people are always watching women's sports, because they are.
That's why everyone was tweeting that. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. People watch women's sports. I was like, yeah, no shit. Why are we saying that?
They just don't claim it, which is sad, because it was an amazing game. I watched it. It was an amazing game.
My grandpa, love that man. He is like the biggest woman sports fan. It's so funny. My uncle was like that. Yeah, I'm just like, mm-hmm. I feel like people who truly enjoy sports just in mm-hmm. general, like the yeah. artistry of organized sports, they love mm-hmm. women's athletics.
They do. It's the people who don't really know what's going on that are just like, women's sports sucks. It's so boring. I'm like, your mama's boring. Shut the hell
like,
up.
Men's sports is like swagger and ego and big moves and stuff. But women's yeah. sports is very calculated and mm-hmm. more team focused and like the true artistry of the sport, I feel.
I agree. I absolutely agree. 100%.
Love a women's sport.
Oscar nominations came out this past week, and your girl, Barbecue Sauce on Her Titties, Tasty from Orange is the New Black, she got nominated for an Oscar in her supporting role as Miss Sophia in The Color Purple. And Divine Joy, she got also nominated for her supporting actress role. America Ferrera got nominated for her supporting mm-hmm. actress role in Barbie. But people, I was asking you about earlier how people were upset that Margot Robbie
mm-hmm. you're a
Margot Robbie didn't get an Oscar nom, and I'm just like, what was she supposed to?
She did an amazing job in that movie. A, B, it was one of the highest grossing movies of the year. C, yeah. it was a cultural phenomenon.
Really?
She was I want to say co-producer of that movie, and then the director, Greta mm-hmm. Gerwig, they both didn't get Oscar nominations, which was strange because...
Wow.
Typically, like, even the Oscars is like the hoity-toity movie awards, mm-hmm. and so they typically don't love comedies or like anything yeah. girly and fun, but because this was such a big... movie, like all I heard about all year was Barbie and Oppenheimer. We just assumed.
Did it have songs? Did Barbie have songs?
No.
See, oh, if it would have had songs, it would have been like La La Land.
It had one song, I think.
See, they should have had multiple songs, and then they would have won like La La Land.
But I think everyone is most upset because the whole premise of Barbie, it's a social commentary about like the patriarchy and the struggle of being a woman and how. Even in like, okay, the premise of Barbie is Barbie World is all run mm-hmm. by these women, right? Women presidents, women, like everything mm-hmm. is women. And mm-hmm. the men in the Barbie world are just like these cast offs. They're stupid. They have no plot. They're just kind of there to look pretty,
mm-hmm.
which is the reverse of, you know, our real world. And so they go from Barbie World to the real world, and Barbie and Ken are kind of realizing like how the roles are reversed in mm-hmm. reality.
Yeah.
And they take that back. So it's just a social commentary on like what it is to be a woman and how you try to be yeah. beautiful and smart and all of these things. And it's never enough, but Ken can be a fucking complete asshole. And he's like the CEO of a company, whatever.
Which is why Ryan Gosling got nominated and Margot Robbie didn't.
Which is the fucking cherry on top, because all of these women made this did a great job of balancing.
Depicting art.
Yeah, this movie to me was it was like fun and girly and flirty and funny, but also like did a very good job of being kind of serious and sneaking in these mm-hmm. great concepts.
Yeah.
You can tell the script was written by a woman because it was just very like smart. And then the little man that played Ken got nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
It's kind of like a catch 22. Like,
yeah.
Damn.
What I did like was that, and very smartly, Ryan Gosling put out a statement and was like, wow, like there is no Ken without Barbie. Like, I am so thankful for these women for making this role for me and for, you know, they are.
Well, he had no choice but to put that shit out. That was
you bet. You fucking bet. Because
if he wanted to put that out, that would have made him look like a complete asshole.
I know. Not related. I just need a side note really quick.
Okay.
Justin Timberlake just did a mm-hmm. free concert in Memphis, I think, because he's coming out with a new album. Wasn't wearing his wedding ring.
That doesn't mean anything. Does he always wear it normally?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean anything.
I'm just saying, let's be on the lookout. I'm predicting a divorce. But anyway.
Okay, let's not put that into the atmosphere.
I don't want to prophesize a divorce. I'm just saying.
Please don't.
Okay. Anyway.
And I want people to, I also kind of related to that, but unrelated. So I don't know if you saw in the news recently how Halle Bailey is releasing a lot of photos that were photoshopped where when she was pregnant, they made it look like she was not pregnant, which I love. And so some fan decided to, I'm sorry, not a fan, some weird ass person decided they wanted to put under one of her posts, like, I'm just, all I'm saying is, I'm not pissed that she hid her pregnancy. I'm just pissed at the fact that she just blatantly lied that she wasn't pregnant. So of course, Halle Bailey responded, and let me get the actual thing of what she said.
I don't owe you shit, sir.
But pretty much, she was just like, first of all, fuck your bitch and the click you claim, okay? So she said, so the young lady said, I don't think people, wait, god damn it. I don't think people are mad that she hid her pregnancy. People are more so annoyed that she went out of her way to lie and gaslight about it. Then she shaded people and called them desperate. Now she wants those same desperate people to know every little detail. So Hallie responded.
Okay.
Exactly. So Hallie responded, I never lied or even said anything about it, honey. Making a joke about my nose was the furthest I went. I'll never understand why you are mad. I protected my own peace. Wouldn't you do the same? And I'm going to share my pics now if I want to, because my son is here safely. If you don't want to see it, just keep scrolling, baby. Laugh out loud. God bless you. So then another girl says, Halle, baby, kill it. You didn't tell us about the baby then. You didn't speak about it then. Don't speak about it now and leave us out of the conversation. Enjoy your jit in peace. We don't care. So Halle says, if you don't care, why are you responding then, sweetheart? She says, just don't care by living your best life and not commenting on mine. I'm gonna say it exactly how she probably said it. Well, if you don't care, why are you responding then, sweetheart? Just don't care about living your best life and not commenting on mine.
That's how she did it. So good. You are an actress.
I really am. Somebody cast me in something. Hurry, hurry.
You are. Yes, but also, okay, yeah, like the time of pregnancy and having a baby is such a sensitive time,
mm-hmm.
and you just never know what can happen. And if you, I cannot imagine going through a pregnancy and anything happening and having to tell or just not explain, but obviously if I'm pregnant one day and then not, like, people are gonna have questions. So I would hide that shit too. And that's my business.
I just don't understand how that would change your life as a watcher of Halle Bailey, how that would change your life if she would have came out and said, yes, I'm pregnant. Y'all said the same shit that when you didn't know for sure, you talked about, why would she get pregnant by him? He is a loser. Mm-hmm. He's this, he's that. Why is she? Oh my gosh, she's not married. You let him turn you into a baby mama. You said all this shit about negative shit about her when you didn't know for sure. What would you have said differently if you did know for sure? You probably would have said the same thing.
All I know is I was flabbergasted at the picture she posted where they photoshopped her belly.
I love that.
I was like, how the fuck did they do that? That was seamless. It was insane.
I think if that would have been around when Beyonce was pregnant with Blue Ivy, she would have did the same damn thing. 100%. See, Beyonce was still doing in-person interviews as opposed to being on social media. And I think if she would have, people wouldn't have known wouldn't have never seen her pregnant body until she actually released it.
Yeah.
Which is why people were the whole controversy about the fake belly and all that. I'm like, I would have wore a fake belly too. You're not touching my child, putting those spirits through my stomach.
If I was famous, I would half the time wear a fake belly, half the time be like, I would just do crazy shit all the time because it would be funny to me because y'all are fucking crazy.
I agree. I would do the same thing.
Speculate. I'll give you something to speculate about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. I haven't watched anything because I'm a loser. Oh, you know what I did start watching is that old movie, The Circle, with Tom Hanks and Emma Roberts. It's on Netflix now. Have you seen it?
No.
It's like Emma Roberts starts working at this company that's kind of like Google, Apple-y, real techy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts finding out that they're doing all this like really shady stuff behind the scenes with like data collection of people and stuff. But it started giving me anxiety because art depicts life.
Damn, it got a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. Shit.
16%?
Damn, they didn't. 5.3 out of 10 on IMDb. God dang.
Maybe I won't finish
it. Won't be watching that shit.
John Boyega was in it. That's why I turned it on. But I guess not. Okay, never mind. No one watch it. No one watch it.
Jeez. I have been so busy this past week. I have not turned on my TV once. I've been living life through social media. So Yeah, that's about it.
My goal is to watch all the nominees for Best Picture for the Oscars. That's my goal.
I do want to see that.
I really want to see Poor Things with Emma Roberts. I heard she's amazing. I want to see, what is the movie with all the black people?
Color Purple.
No, not that one. I will watch that one. It's with, oh my God, nonfiction? Aw, Oscar movie nominations. Come on. Tell me what it is. Do you know?
No. In my head, all I hear is The Handovers.
American Fiction.
The Hangovers. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. American Fiction.
I want to see that one. I want to see The Jeffrey Hangover. Wright,
he was nominated for lead actor. Yes,
and I like him a lot.
Tracy Ellis Ross plays his wife, right, in the movie?
Yeah, and Sterling K. Knight is nominated too. Love Sterling K. Knight. That's my goal for the next couple weeks, is to kind of get that together.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. What about you? You got anything else?
No.
This is my also last thing.
Okay.
Did you see all those people who were like, oh my God, wait, hold on. Hold, please. Are you in a rush to go somewhere? Are you busy?
No, we're just at almost an hour and 20.
Okay, well, the people can wait.
Hey, this is the first time we've had good enough service to continue this long. So
I know, everyone should be so excited. Okay,
my Wi-Fi is always great. Yours is horrible, but it's okay.
I worked on it. Okay. I saw this thing on Instagram. It said 96.2% of people would never listen to Drake again if they got a mansion in return.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was my first thought. But then I was thinking, there's so many Drake songs. So many.
But do we need them?
I could never dance to Nice for What again. Or Work again.
You know how sometimes on social media, they'll pass around this little meme it'll have like four artists on there, and they're just like, take away one artist and all their catalog, you can absolutely take away Drake from my catalog. I would not miss that.
Listen, I don't think it's the most like groundbreaking work in the world, but it's something I grew up with him. Like, I need it, you know? He's like a box of mac and cheese. There's no nutritional value. It's not, you know, earth shattering, but it's just a comfort. I think I need him. I would love a mansion,
though. Which is why you need to start learning how to bake mac and cheese.
Oh. You don't like a box of mac and cheese?
Hell no. That fake-ass cheese shit.
Mm-mm. That's the best. There's something about a box of cracked mac and cheese.
Yeah, chemicals.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want good mac and cheese. I want the blues. Box.
I grew up on baked mac and cheese. Like, my aunt Pat, she makes the best mac and cheese ever in the world. Argue with your mammy. But and yeah, anytime anybody come in my face with Kraft, I'm just like, if you don't get this bullshit out of my fucking face, I can't do it.
I love a box of mac and cheese.
Can't do it. I used to do that in college, but now no more.
I'm just, sometimes I just, it hits the spot.
Never. I mean, hurricane food, probably.
You would do it?
Only if it was a hurricane.
Okay.
Or the power's out, you know.
Teach their own. Yeah, okay, definitely. That was it. That's all I got for you.
All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all so much for joining us for another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. We appreciate y'all for standing with us. Y'all, I know it's been a transition. We've gotten some comments about our chemistry on film, that it's not the same. And I get it. We miss being around each other as well. Unfortunately, she's in a FBI prison right now, so she can't get out. She has to serve her time. So
once she's finished
serving her jail sentence, then we'll be back in person with each other in the studio. But y'all just bear with us during this time. Continue to share, like, subscribe, comment. We see your comments. We appreciate y'all so much. And y'all remember to have an amazing rest of your week. Y'all remember to spread light. What? Spread love.
Spread the light. Wait, also, I think I'm going to have to get an eye lift. One of my eyes is drooping, and I can tell on camera. Yet.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Did you? Okay, wait. This is the last thing I'll say, and I'm done. This is very important to me. Did you see Kylie Jenner in Paris for Fashion Week?
Why? Why would I?
She looks horrible. And it's giving like the Ozempic, not bobblehead, but the Ozempic face fat loss, but her filler has stayed. And she looks like she just aged 16 years. She looks sick. It's insane to look at. She looks like a completely different person.
Well, maybe you need to give her some of your Kraft mac and cheese.
I honestly think that more people would benefit from Kraft mac and cheese than you think. Everyone that's listening to this week, have yourself a box of Kraft mac and cheese. It'll change your life.
Please don't.
I'll post it on Instagram this week when I do it.
That's a staple in your diet. What are you talking about? I'll do it like it's something new, like you have to break down and do it. Like you're volunteering as tribute. That's already in your cabinets right now.
Ooh, if I have to, I guess.
Right.
Half a stick of butter, bitch.
I guess I'll volunteer. You probably got a Sam's Club container of it in your house right now.
Ooh, there's something about the sap, man. I could talk about it for hours, but.
Okay, mac and cheese. All right, y'all. Y'all remember to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off.
What the fuck?
You kept pausing. We're not doing it again.
Okay, go.
Remember to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off. I cannot with you. Anyway, okay. It'll never get better until we get in person. Anywho. All right. Y'all have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday where new episodes are released.